Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
We started a very important subject titled Scent of Water. And today we continue from where we stopped, so we're going to read that same portion of scriptures, Job chapter number 14 from verse 7 to 9. Job 14 from verse 7 to 9. Amen. Says, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Amen. So, and I said that what Job was actually trying to say, if you read from the first verse reading this scripture, is that there is actually more hope for a tree as compared to a person. Okay? That if you cut a tree and it dies, if the stump remains in the earth and all that, said at the scent of water, it will bring forth again and spring back to life. So we are journeying into a very important understanding, particularly for the Last Day Church. What that scripture means, that there is hope for a tree, connotes redemption, connotes restoration, connotes revival. That there is no situation that is practically too bad for God to reverse or turn around. No one is irredeemable. Okay? That's what we are studying into. And on Sunday, I began to show you examples across scripture of cut down trees. Examples of situations where certain individuals look like they've come to the end of their journey. And I mentioned David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the anointed of Most High God, the one that was raised as king, the one that God said, I found a man after my heart, killed a man, snatched the wife, and Nathan came. He said, this is the verdict. You know, I took time to read across scripture. I saw that every time God delivered judgment to a person and said, I'm going to judge this case, and it happened, it's because it was not appealed. Every time. Even when God said concerning Moses, that Moses, you have not sanctified me before the children of Israel. This. You will see the promised land, but you will not enter. And you read three chapters after that, God was still giving Moses assignment, because it was not appealed. He said the same word. Send a prophet to Ezekiel. Say, tell him, put your house in order, because you are going to die. As the prophet left, the man turned and faced the wall and said, God, remember. And began to recount. God immediately said, go back and tell him, I've added 16 extra years. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's why I said, every time that it looks like somebody's life ended because of their mistake, it is actually because they don't know the love of God. And that's why God had to send Jesus. Speaking through Paul to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter number 2, all right, 1 Timothy 2:5. Let me show you that scripture. Very important scripture, 1 Timothy 2:5. Look at it. I want you to turn your Bibles there, all right? 1 Timothy chapter number 2, all right, from verse 5. It says, there is one God, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus. So God has always been in search for somebody that can stand in the gap. So let me give you an instance, just like my leadership journey. If somebody has offended and I have to apportion discipline to the person, okay, I always tell the leaders around me, don't hurt Petro, beg. A true father wants you to appeal for his children. If my daughter has made a mistake and I say, come and I spank her, I say, yeah, add more. I will stop and look at you. What's your own? That is what you look like when you come between God and his children. The best you can do for anybody that is going through a season is to intercede. But to stand and say, we've always known, he deserves to suffer. Because in the first place, the fellow is going through that because we did not pray. Let me leave that. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right, very, very important. I want to show you practical, all right, very practical illustrations tonight. Very practical illustrations tonight. And I want us to pay attention to those illustrations. Okay? There's a story. A very significant story. And maybe before I show us that story, let me give a background of this subject for the sake of those who are connecting with us for the first time and do not have the privilege to be connected on Sunday because of their various churches. So I said on Sunday that there are situations in your life where your experience literally is like one who can never find hope again. I gave an example of somebody who is called to teaching on sexual purity who has gotten pregnant out of wedlock. It doesn't look like God can ever successfully use the person for that assignment. Let me give you this. Let me say this statement. Take it home. Anything you can boast of in your own strength, God will not use you for it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because we need to correct the excesses of the apostolic ministry in Nigeria. If not, it will not see another generation. It doesn't matter how strong the movement is. Once pride enters, it will die. It will be corrupted, then it will die. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Very important. You see, when God uses you, appreciate him for the opportunity. But to feel that God is using you is because you are actually better or you are praying more than those that God is not using, you have lied. God used the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. How that not many wise men were called. Not many nobles were called. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Say it loud and clear. Grace found me. Look at the way you are saying it. Say, grace found me. It is not of works. It is grace. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm starting carefully. I don't want to go ahead of myself. All right. So I give another illustration. Imagine a woman or a man. Who knows? God has called me. He's called me. There's a call upon my life. I'm to use my life or to teach the subject of marriage or to be one whose home will be a healing balm that will flow to the ends of the earth. Now, this person has married wrongly. That looks like a cut down, a tree that is cut down. But the Bible said that there is still hope for that tree, even when it is cut down. As long as the stump remains in the earth, at the scent of water, it will spring back again. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. It doesn't matter the level of hopelessness you are in right now. You are coming back. Somebody, you are a young minister, whether old or young, You have made a mistake. A sexual scandal is around the corner. People are laughing at you. You are a campus president, a campus pastor. You have impregnated a girl or you something. Your secret is out. Everybody is dragging you. Repent. Listen, that's the balance. All right? Confess to God. Repent. Make sure you get accountability. But there's no devil anywhere that says God will not use you. There's no devil anywhere that says God will not use you. The agenda only stops when you throw in the towel. When you feel you are too dirty for God to use. I see God using the broken pieces of your marriage, assembling them together and spreading healing to the nations of the earth. I see God mending the broken pieces, putting things together and saying, God is saying, it is still you. Jonah, God called you. Go to Nineveh. He ran to Tarshish. God said, Jonah, I will follow you. I hear God saying to somebody, I will follow you. Yes, say, God, I'm dirty. I've messed up myself. Can I tell you a story? Catherine Kuhlman, before you began to hear about this Kuhlman, was the wife of a pastor. They invited an evangelist to their church to come and preach. Kuhlman. She fell in love with the evangelist and they both ran away. And went outside ministry for years before she came back. It was until she came back that you began to see this cool man you saw. Who told you you are now too stained for the use of the King of Kings? I am saying God has not changed his mind. It is still you he will use. Those visions are still intact. Everything God said, what he showed you. Yes, you are going through a turn. You have made a mistake that looks powerful to end it. But listen, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in. They are safe. You are safe. You are safe. You are safe. Nobody else will better carry that assignment with humility like the one who knows what it means to fail. Yes. And that's why God is not changing his mind. So that you will not boast of your own strength. Okay? He now needs you to go after your kind because you are many. The one who recovers from the injury becomes the captain of those who are wounded. And he will carry the anointing to bring them out. I see God raising you as a captain. One who is anointed. That when you speak concerning the issue of sexual immorality, you know what it means to be there. And you can administer grace, not judgment, not condemnation. You can administer strength. And healing flows from the same place where you are bled, where blood has flown. I see healing. I see healing flowing. Oh yes. God is saying to tell you, it is still you I will use. I have not changed my mind. I said God has not changed his mind. That is the word of the Lord. God has not changed his mind. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Please be seated. I asked you, if you were there the day Nathan was delivering the judgment to David, that you are the man. David said, the man who has done this. And that's the issue. He said, let him be paid sixfold. Let him this easy. Let him be put to death. And the prophet of God looked at him. Said, David, you are that man. What will all these bloggers carry? The hand of an era. The hand of a colossus. The fall of an elephant. But except a grain of wheat first fall to the ground and dies, it abides alone. The falling is not your burial. It is a sowing. Is that okay now? They thought they buried you, but they forgot that you are the plantings of the Lord. You are a seed. When you bury a seed, you have placed it in the place where its destiny needs to thrive. Those adversity, those tears, those pain, disappointment, shame, they are part of the necessary ingredients to make you a rock solid. Is that clear now? I said, is that clear?
Yes, sir.
God has not changed his mind. He will still use you. And anybody who has a query should submit it to the court of heaven. Praise God. They caught that woman in the act of adultery. I don't know how you catch a woman alone. But because the person they caught her with is one of them. And they carried stone. And they pursued her. You will die! But thank God she ran towards Jesus. Unfortunately, we have a generation that has successfully repainted the image of Jesus. That such women can no longer run towards Jesus. I have come to readdress that. that it's time to run back towards Jesus. There is no mess that is too dirty for him. What will you do? I say, I owe you. No, he has paid the price. And Jesus said to them, let him who has not sinned be the first to cast the stone. Until then, we found out that they were actually sinners. Wow. Those who have the loudest mouth were actually doing it. And they began to throw the stone. And the woman looked at Jesus. The only one qualified. The only one qualified to castigate her is not the one who has not sinned. For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, seeing that he was in all point tempted like we are, but yet without sin. So he's the only one without sin. And that one said, woman, I condemn you neither. Go and sin no more. You see, you can't condemn people and tell them to go and sin no more. Do you understand that? I said, you can't condemn people and now tell them to go and sin no more. Because the strength of sin is in condemnation. There is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Say, I'm not condemned. I'm not condemned. Say it again now. Say it loud and clear. Some of you have dropped certain aspects of your callings because you feel a man who has made the mistake you have made can be used for it. Who said so? And I'm about to ask you the way God asked Adam and Eve. Who told you that you are naked? Sin did not rid you of the glory, and information did. Let me say this to you. As holy as the elder brother of the prodigal son was, there was no lesson to learn from his life. Nothing about his life revealed the nature of the father. We are not saying that we should become wasteful and prodigal, but we are saying, as I read to you on Sunday, Psalms 51 from verse 16, Message translation, flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart shattered lives ready for love. Don't for a moment escape God's notice. And we are having the elder brother syndrome in the body of Christ now. Those who are saying, that person is walking in immorality. Don't invite him. Don't bring him. They are amazed that a man can repent behind the sin and God will not consult them that he has repented. It is pride to think God must tell you that somebody has changed. It is pride. So we are having the elder brother syndrome. And whenever that happens, listen to what I'm saying. You will still be doing ministry, but not the strategic work. Do you understand what I'm saying? You will still be preaching. Let me say this to you. You can be preaching, but God has changed the generation he's trusting you with, and he has given to somebody who is not full of himself. Be careful, sir. Let's be careful. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm just getting started. I'm trying to water the ground. All right, so we can be able to go a bit deeper. Okay? So there are situations you see, and everything around this situation connotes hopelessness. Lazarus was sick. Jesus didn't show up. He died. Day one, he didn't show up. Day two, he didn't show up. Day three, he didn't show up. The fourth day, then Jesus went there. And Mary began to speak to him. Said, he's been dead now for 4 days. And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the salvation of the Lord? Yeah, I know. I know. I know he's going to wake up again at the last resurrection. That's why I'm going to see him again. And Jesus looked at her. You have no idea. Imagine Lazarus had died for 4 days. If you were there, you would have eaten the akara or puff puff. The way keeping, and they have shared pamphlets. Lazarus, and they put poster around the seat, the street. And say, wow, Lazarus, the brother of Mary, this is gone too soon after a brief illness. But who says it? You know the speed that people type RIP? Speed. Amazingly, those who never congratulate or celebrate a man or acknowledge him in his lifetime are quick to say, oh, what a good man he was. I'll tell you where that is coming from. Okay? And after they have given up, Lazarus' case was done, buried. They rolled a stone over the burial, the tomb. Then Jesus came and told Mary, take me to where he's buried. Say yes. They got there. You know, what do you think? Maybe you just want to see the graveyard and say, and he's gone. No, Lazarus was my friend. To shock you, Lazarus was Jesus' friend, though. Not mentee. You that you are so anointed, you can't have friends. He's his friend. You know, son, friend. And he said to Mary, tell them to roll away the stone. He said, he's smelling now. He's smelling 4 days. By now, he would have been swollen and roll away the stone. And Jesus stood there. And the Bible said he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead stood, came bound hands and feet. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. I see somebody who has concluded that I'm finished. I have missed my seasons. What can God do again? I see God saying, comfort. I hear it. I see God saying, comfort. I hear God saying, comfort. And I hear God saying, remove the sackcloth. Remove the dead clothes from him. Take away the clothes from him. It's not over. Still has more to do. You are not done. You are only tired. I love what one of our pastors used to post. Pastor Tumishe. Put it every time. And I know it's by the Spirit. Think you are not done. You are just not motivated. But I hear God say, no, comfort. The same thing that they told you can never become, you will do it. And those who said you can never become will sit down to be blessed. Do you understand what I'm saying? When our ministry started, a pastor gathered all our leaders and said, is this the man you want to follow? This man has no future. He said, this thing he called ministry will end in less than 6 months. Started as a Bible study group, 2014. 9 years, sir. Going to 10 years. Became a church 5 years after, still standing by the grace of God. Because when people give their verdict, they can't change the mind of God. Yes, oh yes. You better be careful of what you criticize. Don't fight what God is doing, sir. You will be very wrong. And what that is going to do is that throughout your life, as that thing is expanding, you are angry. And is it not amazing that there are believers who are waiting for some people to crash because they have always believed that the person is bad? There are apostles waiting for other apostles to fail so they can say, we've always known that this person is not living right. The day that person crashed, they will say, we told you. Where is the place of intercession and brotherly love? This thing that you now so believe that can make you wait for a person to crash is not godly. The apostolic ministry in Nigeria needs urgent repair. The devil is winning. When you have people you can talk to one-on-one, but it's now so scary to relate with people, but you take it online and bash them. Listen, the Bible said if a man is caught in a fault, let them with the spirit of meekness restore such a person. Meaning that the restoration that lacks meekness is no restoration. It's worse than what you are trying to deal with. Not everybody is licensed to correct. Once you have ought, you cannot correct. And I notice that many of those who say they have corrections for the body of Christ don't speak from the place of love. People ask me, where do they speak from? I said it's from conversations. People gather, backbite a person, then there's an energy that looks like anointing, and they speak from there. You must be careful. You must be careful. Where have we got into that? We don't know. Let me leave this matter. Okay? Because I'm here to just teach. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me say this. Let me say something. Yoruba will say that me only waku konjo ele baba. That is anybody who is afraid to die, who say I can't come and go and die, should not be a chief in his father's house. It's for those who are ready to stress themselves. That one time a girl did cook a ton. Everybody started insulting, say she's a prostitute. Okay. when the church sits in that kind of place, she will love your Jesus more. Wow. Extremely clean people. Loving. The most holy. Say you are celebrating a prostitute. Does it sound like people who say we caught her in adultery? It sounds the same. It doesn't change from generation to generation. You can feel anointed about what you are saying, but it's still flesh. It's still flesh. So the way we castigate, the way we are quick to, is this Jesus now interesting and attractive for people to love and serve? Let me say this to you. I told you something on Sunday, that the same you that is producing something powerful like Abraham, the devil is still interested in using the same you to produce the opposite. What I'm trying to say is that the same Peter that said you are the Messiah, the moment he said it, the devil made sure he was interested in using the same Peter to say, I don't know him. When life begins to flow from you, be careful, because death can flow with the same frequency. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you the danger of what I'm doing. Let me tell you. In case you don't think I know. I'll tell you something. When you begin to teach, and you begin to reach the people the church have not been reaching, there's a danger. The danger of it is that you will now enter what is called superiority complex, where you feel you are better than those who are not reaching them. No, sir. It's a trap. In doing those things, maintain humility and keep the sanctity of the body. Do you understand what I'm saying here? The sanctity of the body. That is when people begin to tell you that you are better than the rest, never take it. It is not an accolade, it is an insult to the body. What comes to one comes to all of us. Do you understand? Very important though. Because when your head swells, your crown falls. I'm just telling you. Because we don't understand these things. And I have concerns. My concern is that there seems to be an army, a mob army. And it sounds right, looks right. And people that we call baby Christians are now the ones saying that believers should not be dragging themselves like this. Any correction that is not done in love cannot achieve the purpose. But meanwhile, the purpose usually is not to make change. It is to destroy. Let's be careful. We must be careful as a generation. We must be careful. Are you still with me? The same Abraham that fathered Isaac, the devil wants to also make the same you father Ishmael. Be careful. Of those moments, those unguarded moments, be careful. Be careful. Okay? I want to show you examples and things to take note of. Are you still with me? Let's look at the case. A very serious case of a tree that has been cut down that experienced the scent of water. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of John chapter number 4. It's a very serious case. John chapter number 4. Let's start the reading from verse 3. So speaking about Jesus, said he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must need go through Samaria. Then he comes to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There comes a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria, "How is it to him? How is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that said to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. Then the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From when then have you this living water? So let me stop reading from there. So what this woman was saying is that the Jews, they are too holy to relate with us Samaritans. So don't let people catch you here. Because, I mean, do you know who you are talking to? I am a Samaritan woman. And Jesus said, I know. He said, I want water. He said, you don't understand. We are not clean compared to you people. Jesus said, I know. That's what you conclude. Give me water. I have a water I'm going to give you that you don't know anything about. So when I give you this water, it will become in you a well. And this well is a well of living water. The man said, if you truly have any well, why are you then begging for water? It was until then that Jesus looked at her. He said, go and call your husband. The woman looked at him. He knows my story. They've told him my story. Okay, now that you know my story, come and judge me too. Jesus said, no. Because you don't have any husband now. You have married 5 times. And now you are living a couple's life and the person you are with is not your husband. Hold on. First, the Jews have no fellowship with the Samaritans. Secondly, this was not just a Samaritan woman. She is a woman who has married 5 times. How many times? 5 times. And not just has she married 5 times. Now she's living with somebody and they are not married. What will Jesus? Because he said he need to pass through Samaria. So, why does he need to pass through Samaria? Because there is a woman there that must be touched. And who is this woman that must be touched? Probably the one you call the worst of Samaritans. 5 times. You may not understand the weight of somebody's marriage failing 5 times until you know the way somebody will be dragged if your marriage fails once. So it looks practically that if people's marriage have failed, they don't have space in the church. They can't become anything. The conclusion structurally is that God cannot use this one. One marriage. But this one is not one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And there's a 6th guy. So imagine having children for all the 5 men. I said, that one, look at the child. 5 different men. 5 different men. If she's not an allot, what is she? She has children for 5 different men. Who is this Jesus that will consider such a person? And do you know the funny thing? The first person in the Bible that Jesus himself told that I am the Messiah was that woman. Hold on a minute. When he came to the disciples, he was asking them, who do men say that I am? But the only person that Jesus said, the Messiah you read about, I am he, is the Samaritan woman, the filthy woman, the unclean, the unimportant. I just want to say this. The church may cancel you. Jesus has not. Oh, you have a child out of wedlock. and you can no longer become a pastor in that church. Okay. But you do have a ministry, and your pulpit is beyond church. Do you understand? And I was just thinking. And you guess what? When Jesus revealed himself to the woman, because of the depth of the brokenness, the unworthiness he felt, she couldn't wait but to run around. I have found the Messiah, the one who revealed my life, and began to tell people. He told me I've had five husbands. He told me I've had five husbands. Immediately, she was not afraid to use her scars to heal others, because he never felt worthy. The people who never felt they deserve it, do it better. The people who never felt they are qualified for it, they do it better. Because grace, when grace comes and grace finds you fully fitted and fully qualified, grace lives. But grace visits and stays on people who need God. Those who have found a space in their heart and discover, I can't do this except God grace me. And the woman heralded the gospel of Christ more than anyone else. I have found the Messiah. Have you seen him? I found the Messiah. Have you seen him? I found the Messiah. Because he didn't feel worthy. How about the woman that Jesus revealed him, that first saw that Jesus had resurrected? Mary Magdalene. Do you know her? She was the one that they were casting out devils from in church. 12 demons spoke out and said, "I." She said, don't go near her. She's carrying devils. And she was the first person that met those angels. And said, why seek ye the living amongst the dead? Go tell the disciples, he's risen as he said. How that God choose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Glory to God. If ministry was to be bought with perfection, many of us would smell nothing around the pulpit. I'm telling you, sir. If they were to be sharing it based on who is favorite in church, we stand no chance of being called. But thank God who is not a man. Thank God who is not a man. He's not a man. Praise God. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways. And his thoughts than our thoughts. Thank God. Say, mercy found me. Say it again loud and clear. Mercy found me. Say, mercy found me. Oh, glory. Glory to God. If there's anything I would like to tell you tonight, is to get out of the feeling of unworthiness. Get out of it. How bad have you fallen? You are aborted. Okay. What else? Are we justifying abortion? No. You still don't get it. You see what is preaching now? You see what is. Are you aware there are people who join services just to feel what I will say that is wrong? I say, you need to hear what he said. You know, that's why I said that you have no right to correct the body of Christ if you have never celebrated anything anybody did well. How that people are very quick to come and comment. Look at what he's preaching now. But the one that blessed you, you just said, like, you didn't like. Comment, you didn't comment. You just say, But the one that you are not, say, look at it. You are a Pharisee. And it's the spirit of the age. No movement in history has carried so much pride, like this apostolic movement. No movement. And it is very amazing how that we are quick to before you castigate that Europe is no longer on fire, look at UK. You better understand the depth of the work that went there. It was not a small work. The quality of men that rose. If you go, if you pass through a wilderness and you see that somebody is lying down in pool of blood, still bleeding, and you are seeing that an animal has beaten the person and you are seeing blood gushing out, That is not where you sit down and take selfie and say, look at it, how are the mighty falling? That is when you take it that what killed this person is not far. Do you understand what I'm saying? We must be careful of pride, though. The Nigerian church must be careful of pride. Nigeria is not obligated to spearhead this revival. It can move to any nation. Whatever is happening now is happening because God shone his light on Nigeria, not because we are good. It is God's sovereign will. And it must be received with the most sincere humility, not looking down on other countries as they are not on fire or that their men are cold. When it is the days of revival, the harvest gets ripe quickly. We must accept it with humility, sir. The Nigerian church must go back to the drawing board and be humble. Oh, the church growth movement, we must be careful. Let me leave that there. All right. Thank you, Lord. I just want to give you a few more illustrations before I go back. What about the case of the woman with the issue of blood? 12 years of ceaseless bleeding. 12 years of consistent bleeding. 12 years of life flowing out of her. Because the life of a thing is in the blood. 12 years of being, listen, unable to come to the temple. Because once you have issue of blood, you can't come close. You're unclean. But not being able to come close to the temple is not you not being able to come close to Christ. And the woman said to herself, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. You see, listen. If I can touch him, his faith. That's faith. If I can touch the hem of his garment, it's not faith. That's condemnation. If I can touch him, I know he carries the healing. If I can touch the hem of his garment, is I am too dirty to touch him. Let me just touch his garment. That's what she felt. Like, I don't want to stain you. Are there people who have felt I don't want to stain the church with my predicament? A minister that is now pregnant of wedlock. I was staying in the church. Oh, Pastor Mewa shared a story when he came of one of his members that was arrested and locked in police station. And when he got there to bail him, the police were screaming, are you the pastor of the thief? He said, yes, I am the pastor of the thief. I am the pastor of that thief. I am the pastor. How many of you would like to be pastor of thieves? Pastor, you are the pastor of that prostitute. Say yes. I am the pastor. I have not come to look for those who are perfect. She's my daughter. You know, there is a way you begin to reach certain kind of people and you feel you must be doing something wrong. Because now it looks like our gospel is now personalized just for church folks. And when you begin to reach those who are on dreads, those who are on different things, they feel you must be doing something wrong. Give those people you are attracting to your church. What kind of preaching are you preaching? Oh, wow. What do you take to laundry? Clean clothes. And the woman said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And the moment she touched it, come, touch the hem. Jesus paused. Who touched me? And she hid herself the more. I've known. Now he knows I'm unclean. Now he knows I'm dirty. Now he knows. He knows somebody dirty has touched him. I knew it. And this was a bad idea. I'm too unholy for this kind of adventure. Now he knows. And Jesus did not cancel her doubt. Kept asking, who touched me? She hid herself. Never came out. And suddenly she noticed that the warm sensation of blood oozing out was no longer there. And she checked herself and there's no more flowing of blood. She said, I'm healed. Then she summoned courage and put her hands out from the crowd and said, I did. Oh, Jesus never said, you stained me. He never said, look at how filthy you are. No. He never did that. Because there's a blood that he himself will shed for her. And that blood will flow for more than 12 years. And he rather said to her, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Yes, every time Jesus said people have faith, they were not Israel. They were not Jews. The people who feel too dirty for God, they end up doing great things. Your faith has made you whole. You can touch him. What, now I look. What are the modern day examples of bleeding for 12 years that can keep you out of the church? Like being a gay. Like being a lesbian. A popular one. And say if they come to church, give their life to Christ, can they become a pastor? Can they become a pastor? Can somebody you met as a prostitute ever be ordained in your church as a minister? How about the woman who has had 5 husbands? How about that smoker that everybody knows, the pedophile? The popular ones. The one that just returned from jail. Ex-convict. Is there still a message for them? Do they have a portion in our salvation message? Do they have a part in it? Is there a message for them? Is there a portion for them in Christ? I remember when a popular pastor's message failed, a marriage failed. It was the message in almost all our churches. See the Jerry coil. See, those that should pray rather said, we've always known. It is amazing how that people fall into trouble and you barely find anybody from the church standing by you. And I watched in America, the same America we castigate and insult, when Benny Hinn's marriage first failed. I was in Ghana when they were having the wedding and I saw the Real Bonke stood and joining Benny Hinn and the wife together. I remember I was on the street in a place called Volta region and I was crying. Now who said it is over? Who said it? When Benny Hinn's marriage first cried, people said, we've always known. In fact, they began to produce videos. All those Holy Ghost movies, demonic. Go and check online. He's a demonic man. He's this and that. And guess what? Unbelievers don't know much and don't even have the effrontery to say it about the church like pastors and believers. That in our days, we will see those who have been called outcast, impossible for God to use, washed with the blood, brought to the fold, standing and restoring others. Some of you are saying that if I can touch the hem of his garment, I can't go to church, I'm unclean. Something similar like life flowing through you for 12 years is like masturbating for 12 years. That's the issue of life flowing. So it's been 12 years, I'm in it. Touch his garment. Touch him. I've been an addict to alcohol, to smoking. 12 years, 10 years, 20 years. Touch him. Reach out to him. Reach out to him. Never allow anybody paint the image of Jesus wrongly to you. Reach out to him. What's left of me? Everything right has failed. Who will ever accept that I have a ministry? Touch him. Oh, you have an infection because of sex outside wedlock. Touch him. You are a gay. You are a lesbian. Or you don't even know what you are. Touch him. Don't hide in the press. Touch him. The man at the pool of Bethesda has been there for 38 years. When you see a man that long in his problem, the conclusion is the same. For him not to be receiving what everybody else is receiving, then there's something he's not doing right. Maybe his heart is bad. That's why his case is not changing. Jesus left all those that their heart was good, and he came for that guy on a Sabbath day. It is so amazing now that we have a day that nobody should be healed. And when one man came with a withered hand, and Jesus said, stretch your hand, and the hand was healed. They say, of all the things Jesus did, what they were seeing is, why will he do that on Sunday, on Sabbath day? And Jesus now asked them a question. Say, who amongst you will have his goat fall into a pit on Sabbath day and will wait to the following day for he brings him out? So they will go after a ram and a goat to rescue. But when you go for a soul, they say you are wrong. Wow. Wow. And he went for that man. And he said, will thou be made whole? The man's focus was in a pool, also a water. But the water has lost scent. It has stenched. Okay? It's a water that shows you that you came late. It's a water that shows you that you have no man. It's a water that shows you that you are disadvantaged. But here is the water, living water, saying you don't need that water. I am here. That one will be stirred once in a while. I can be touched always. And he said, pick your bed and go. One day you walk out of that shame like you were never in it. And that's it. The problem of 30 and 8 years ended. Somebody is asking, will I ever be free from this addiction? Yes. You are not going to die in it. I said you are not going to die in it. You are not dying in that addiction. But I've not been able to stop. I said you are not dying in it. Your case is not over. And I said it to you. The story is not permitted to close until we sing the songs of victory. The story is not permitted to close until we sing the songs of victory. What the devil wants to do is to give you an infirmity that makes everything God ever showed you in those visions, the things he has shown in your heart, look like a mirage. Like you can no longer be the one to do it with this infirmity. But guess what? He's taking away the infirmity and he's saying, daughter, thou art loose. Son, thou art loose. You are getting back. It is amazing now that we pray for the lost to come, but we consider some lost, too lost to come. It is amazing now that we pray for souls to be saved, but we consider some souls irredeemable. Don't even fellowship with them. Don't do anything with them. You are dealing with strange people. Then what are you praying for? It is amazing now that we pray that God is going to take over systems, but some people are too bad. They're not their kind. Something has been happening in recent times. The people we consider too bad to preach to, they've been seeing Jesus themselves in visions and in revelation. Chronic Muslims, jihadists have been seeing him. Prostitutes have been seeing him, having an encounter with him. I remember I shared the story with you. I went to preach in a part of the country. I had left that place. I was not even convenient in the hotel I was lodged. It was very bad. But I had to just stay my time and leave. And they called me after I left and said a man brought a prostitute and they were going to lodge in the room where you left. And as the girl lay down on the bed, she began to cry. and began to scream, "Jesus, I need you in my life." A girl who came with a pack of condoms to be slept with found Jesus on that same bed. And Jesus did not consider that bed dirty or the girl dirty to save her. He's still busy doing it. I said he's still busy doing it. Somebody said at the scent of water. Say it again, at the scent of water. Oh glory. Oh glory to God. Oh glory to God. Let me say this to you. Some of you are like the woman at the well of Samaria. Some of you are like Mary Magdalene. The people around you don't know you. You feel worthless in your circle of friends. You feel like the one who is behind. And they communicate it so. When they talk, you hear their subtle pride. They give you the impression that you are not like us. And you feel it's true. Sometimes you even feel that the reason why you are behind is because you are not praying like them or fasting like them. That's why I'm not catching up. Some of you feel that it's because you have lost seasons. But they are actually the one who don't know who you are. Because there is a grace upon your life that it is important it is not discerned too early, so that you are not crowned too early and you will die too early. It is important that you go through the stage where you are sound and loaded but nobody knows you. The stage where your heart is good but you are the only one that knows it. The stage where you carry it but nobody is seeing it. That stage is important so you can have compassion and be able to extend that same love to those who are going through it. It is not a season to mourn and hate them. Understand that. When that light shines, they will later come to know you. But you have always been that light. What they will come to celebrate you for in the next few years, you have always been that thing. But they just can't see it. They just can't understand. They just don't know that this is the same person that God will use for them. Some of you are not known in your family. They won't believe it. Some of you are not known in your churches. You came into church at the time where you came in with just one shoe. Be careful of how you treat people who are at the last phase of their wilderness. Because just one moment, everything changed for life. People ask me, you have access to many fathers in the body of Christ. Why are you loyal to your spiritual father? I got to the church at the time that I didn't used to have transport. But that was the last phase of that experience. And a man stood and said, "I believe in your ministry." Many of those who like to call us sons now, if we had gone there at the way this ministry started, would never be their sons. In fact, they would tell them to put our chairs behind. Be careful who you despise. Be careful. Even in ministry, you better say where a child is, where an adult is, that's where a child will meet the person. If you have the privilege to be ahead, serve with it. Don't cut people down with it. Don't judge them with it. Don't make them feel that you don't know much about ministry, that's why you are behind. Understand that the purpose of being ahead is to prepare the way for those coming. Serve with your leadership, sir. As God is leading you, become more humble. Give yourself to serving them. Because just one person's life will be changed. Let me say this to you. Your rising humbles some. Somebody's rising will humble you too. The way you rose, it humbled some people. Somebody's rising will humble you. Don't know about that. Before my day, bathroom. When God gives it to somebody who is younger, accept it. As they accepted yours. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Amen. I said amen. Let me give you another example of cut down trees. A kingdom financier that is indebted. The exact opposite of your purpose is what is reigning. You know, you are called to finance the gospel, finance kingdom, but they are pursuing you up and down. Loan platforms are sending message to your contact. And it is this same you that will walk in that level of abundance. When you go through fire, don't struggle for your clothes not to get burnt. The things that get burnt were not meant to be a part of your experience. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people need to go through certain things so that God can show you those who should be around your destiny. Okay? Say, I'm a kingdom financier. I've been called to finance the kingdom. And this same person, not only now does he look like he does not know much about finance, he's indebted. Everybody wants to arrest you. Everybody wants to lock you up. But there is hope for a tree. Though it be cut down, and the root remains in the earth, and the stump waxes old, at the scent of water, it will spring back to life again. Oh, you are saying you are a kingdom financier at a point that you don't even have transport to go around. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come and see. Come and see. Watch how God makes men. Watch how God rewrites stories. Watch how God changes things. Listen to what I'm saying. Never allow any situation become so powerful to change what you are convinced about in your heart. That thing you know that you are. You know you are a giant. You know. You know in the next century they are still telling the story of the greatness of God through your life. You know it. The situations happening are directly opposite of what you are. Never change your mind about who you are. He that fails in days of adversity, his strength is small. In the days of those things, all that confession, this is what I have believed. Do you understand what I'm saying? I was still living in the house where the roof was made with sack. And I would get up every morning and say, I know. People will come here in some years with cameras and lights. And they'll begin to document this house. This house will be in pictures in different magazines. And people will say, Apostle Femi Lazarus once lived here. My landlord may not know me, but I know myself. Some landlord don't know who they are telling. Get out of my house. If only you know who it is, the gift of God that tells you, give me water to drink. If only you know this gift of God, you would have asked of him living water. How can a living water be thirsty? That's a sharp contrast. Sharp contrast. When your life look like the failure of your purpose. A sharp contrast. But God has not changed his mind. I said God has not changed his mind. Yes. God has not changed his mind. Look at the man called Obed-Edom. Broke. Poor. Rejected. Abandoned. The hack just killed somebody yesterday. David said, don't bring it to Jerusalem. Let's find somebody that when he dies, nobody will cry. They said, do you have anybody like that? Check, check, check. I say, yeah, there's one guy. Nobody will miss him. He said, take the ark there. And they begin to notice. People are talking about one guy with a philanthropy organization there. That guy that just bought that land. That guy that just bought that establishment. Who is that? Say, Obed-Edom. Which of the Obed-Edom? Say, the one who that we took the ark to his house that could not eat. Say, when did you take it? Say, just 2 months ago. No, he has changed. God doesn't need permission to bless anybody. Doesn't have to consult anybody to bless anybody. Some people feel that your presence is not needed, so your absence won't be felt, because they don't know who it is, the gift of God that stands before them. At the scent of water. Some of you look like dry trees now. All you need is water. And the same man, you feel. So you know, I've said this before. Somebody came to our ministry that time. And he's a good boy. He's a good boy. He's a powerful son. I love him. He was just speaking at this level. And he called one of our pastors. And he said, is this what people call church? This church can't grow. People are running church. You don't have keyboard. You don't have drum set. Student environment. You can't grow. But at the scent of water. At the scent of water. I shared this story with you. We're going to have a program on OAU campus August 2014. We called, is it 2014 or I can't remember again? We called the program the Burial Generation Conference. I prayed. I went into dry fasting. I heard God say what is going to happen in this meeting has never happened anywhere else before. I can't say it's calm. But when God speaks like that, you need to know what exactly are you talking about. Because there can be possibility that both good and bad too have not happened anywhere else before. I went to go and sew white clothes. Something that can make me look like a low-budget Benin. I know the vibe. I've been there. Went to sew 5 clothes. Everything, material plus sewing, everything should be around 7,000 plus sewing. Is this, I guess, 7 or 12,000? I can't remember. But that money was my widow. I got that. I'm going to pack everywhere. And the shoe. Yemi King's elder brother, or the dad's shoe. That one used to bring those clothes from Oshogboso with the same leg size. I just entered the shoe. I said, that is it. All right. I hang on that shirt. The trouser, till I gave the trouser out, the first hang on it, can never live that life. The trouser was like sword. You understand what I'm saying? Like sword. I was particular about where she would reach the ankle. Let it. There was no car, so they went to go and rent fellowship bus to come and pack me, carry me by us face to face. Yeah, yeah. Came outside doing protocol. Apostle coming. Meter was passing. The host of heaven was saying, "You will collect." Rain was drizzling. I was saying, "Yakumbana, kabana kai, ekimeneke, sebina kaida." Rain, you will not disobey the order of the Lord, the marching order. I was going to enter that bus. Rain began powerfully well. At the prayer, at the no, we spent money, we have prayed. Got to the venue of the meeting. I was telling myself, the sound I'm hearing, I want to believe it can't be from our meeting. It must not be so. Afa was the one that used to rent sound. Afa sound is not waterproof. We had invited a singer to come and sing. That's the first time I knew you called a singer for a meeting. They could not sing. Not because the glory was on ground. It was bad sound. I sat down there. You look at your back, empty chair. Look everywhere, empty chair. Hey, Jesus. You want them to do everything. Don't call me yet. As they come in to come and preach, the rain increased. The place the altar could be, that's where the droplet of the rain. It was like they staged it. The water was dropping directly on my head. As it was dropping, I was preaching in the name of Jesus, but I was querying him. I preached the thing I could preach. The way I call altar call is the wicked, most wicked way. If you like, come and give your life to Christ now, you'll perish. I was shocked they still came. Okay. One girl said, when you were praying, God took away breast lump. What's my business with you? Is that what we are saying? Oh, praise God, God has healed you. And my man said, just leave me alone. What's my problem with you? After the meeting, I got home, dropped my Bible, removed everything. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Just do your own. Let me. If this is what you mean by you will do what you have never done before. This is what you mean. You will do what you have never. Don't even base some of you. Just keep yourself. Day one, no devotion. Day two, no devotion. Day three, no. Discouragement is real inside ministry. One of those mornings, I just look and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. How are you doing? Thank you, Father, because you are God. In Jesus' name, amen. Just start reconciling small, small. The people may not tell you that they've gone through this phase. I have. They may be better. I was not better. After 9 days dry fasting, I was sleeping in the open field for 9 days. Who would not be angry? At least that's what I knew. But that same place, we call for meeting, everywhere is packed. They say, Apostle, you can't enter because the crowd is too much. At the scent of water. what you need, the version of you that is being discarded, that people treat anyhow, is the version that needs water. When water comes, nations will pursue and begin to drink. Everything people are celebrating about my teaching today, I've been teaching this for years. Those who know say, but there's something called scent of water. That is it. Say, I receive. Say, I receive. Say, I receive. When your life is moving in the opposite direction of the exact thing God has said, God promised you early establishment, but that's when it looks like journey of delay started. At the scent of water. See, when what God is bringing is getting delayed, and you are doing everything right, then it means the size of what is coming requires your preparation. Don't be quick to jump out of process, because the size may send you back to process. Yes. The size may send you back. Don't be quick. Don't be quick. Let me give you this illustration, and I'm going to take a bit of time here. Probably you've never seen it this way before, but you need to hear it. How do I start? I know what you celebrate in great men is their exploit. When you look at a man like Riad Bonke that was able to win 77 million souls, one man in his lifetime. 77 documented souls. When you look at a man like Billy Graham, who ministered to all the American presidents since 1945 and till 2018, if I'm correct, before he died, consistently was relevant with all the presidents. The man who has preached to the largest crowd on earth, right, and all that, preached in almost all nations. What you celebrate are those exploits. But you just need a bit of understanding to know that those exploits are possible because they were not bound. Those exploits were only possible because they were not tied. What sin does, what addiction does, is to tie down a man for the life he should live. And the exploit should perform to be happening before his eyes, but it's not the vessel doing it. What is most noteworthy about vessels of impact is not the impact, it's the liberty of the Spirit to make that possible. There are many people who are watching what they could have become happen before their life and seen others do it, and each time they struggle to get it done, to do some things, the weight draws them back. The addiction draws them back. It pulls them back to the ocean and say, it's not you. And some, the devil has been able to automate a system where it happens every day. So what that means is that if it happens every day, you may not even have a fasting life, because it happens every day. You can't be fasting and sinning. Masturbation every day, pornography every day, smoking every day, and different forms of vices. Now the devil has automated it, that now it is daily. Not just daily, almost every hour. So what he's doing is that he has been able to successfully automate a process that now, because addiction is the devil saying, it is not that thing coming for you, it is you hooked on it. And as long as you are hooked on it, what is happening is that the time you could have spent to fellowship, to study, to go deeper in God, to be proficient in becoming this vessel that God will use, that time is invested into this. And what that means is that there's no way God can use a man who is handicapped, the man who didn't prepare. Addiction takes you away from preparation, takes you away from everything that you should do. When When you see such a person, is there still hope? Yes. Listen. The battle cry of the devil is to get you far away from Jesus as much as possible. To let you, he wants to make you know that you are too dirty for fellowship. He wants to make you know that you are too filthy to call Abba. He wants to make you believe that it is insane for you to believe that your kind can do anything important with the time you have wasted. He wants to make you believe that it's over. He wants to communicate your nakedness to you so you can also hide and cover yourself with figs. And when God came and searched for Adam and Eve, that was a father coming to look for his children that has gone astray. Go and read your Bible. In Genesis 3, he killed an animal and he made coat for them with the skin. The first fashion designer in the Bible was God. And the first thing God did to them was to clothe them. He clothed them before he began to ask questions. Listen, no addiction can survive the presence. You are in it because you believe that you should be far. You are in it because you are going farther from him. You are in it because you have allowed it to break your fellowship. I said, no matter what it is, keep reaching out. Nobody drowns in water when they keep reaching out. Those who will rescue them will come. But meanwhile, in this case, it is Jesus who is doing the rescue. People ask, what's this? I say, see. Somebody say, go and discipline yourself. If discipline was the way out, you would have been free for long. Your head is too small to comprehend the mystery of iniquity. It's been woven before you were born. And now you have gotten yourself in it. You are now neck deep. And the question you are asking is, will a day ever come and I'll be free? Can I ever do 2 weeks on earth and not be addicted? Yes. What is the way out? Very, very simple. Let me show you a scripture. Are you following me now? Are you sure? Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 6. I've been fighting tears since I began to preach. Romans chapter number 6. Let's start reading from verse 1 for the sake of contextual understanding. Romans 6 from verse 1. What then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism into his death, that like as Christ we are raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. In likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from now onward we should not serve sin. That's a consciousness. That you may have the habit, but you must not lose sight of the fact that the old man has been crucified. So are you saying that the new man is capable of sinning? Yes. But it does not have the nature of sin. He is sinning, but he is not a sinner. Now, when we say this, this sin, it's Bible. The nature of sin is what makes a person a sinner. The new man does not have that nature. When you got born again, it's called new birth. Because your corrupted nature was taken and you were given the nature of Christ. But beyond that nature, you have a soul. You have a soul. It comprises of your mind, your thinking system. If the journey you have taken that soul to before you became a new man is the journey of smoking, that soul will still carry the desire. And that's why a new birth is not the end, it's the beginning. Just like a child is born. As newborn babe, we now desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. So what now happens? You now begin to receive. Give me that scripture, James 1 verse 21. James 1 verse 21. You now begin to receive with meekness the engrafted word. Alright? Look at it. James 1 21. Yeah. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive what? With meekness, the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. John 15 from verse 3. John 15 verse 3. Look how the Bible says. Now look at it. Can we read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. It said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Meaning that the word carries in itself the ability to wash you clean. So what is now being taken off now? It is the memory, the lust, the corruption that is still trapped in the soul. Transformation began to happen through the word. Look at what Paul said to the Romans. Romans 12 from verse 1 to 3. Quickly. Romans chapter number 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is reasonable service because it is only reasonable to give yourself to the one who has bought you with a price. Okay? It's reasonable. Alright, verse 2 now. It said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed. So the transformation doesn't happen because you are not conformed, no. The transformation happens because you are now transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is doing the work of renewing of the mind? That's the word. It said that you may be able to prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3 now. For I said unto you that this grace, okay, let me just stop there. Are you seeing that now? The word. You are going deeper because you are not taking in life. You have stopped reading your Bible because you feel that you are too dirty to read it. You have stopped praying because you feel you are too dirty to pray. You have stopped fasting because you feel it's of no use. If you fall, you get up again and get back in the race. You don't lie down there and say, I'm finished. Look at my life. There's nothing of me. I'm finished. I've done it again. I've messed up again. Get up! And some of you don't just have to get up. You have to get back in the line because you are men of war. I would have loved the media to play that sound. Step out of the darkness of shame. You have wrapped yourself in. There is hope for a tree that is cut down at the scent of water. It shall spring back to life again. It's a song by Lawrence and God's Will. Lion Roar. Alright, if you can take it to that part, just maybe a minute to that part. Can we get up, everybody? I sense God telling his men to get back in the line. I sense God saying those who have left and you have thrown away your sword and your shield of faith, you have thrown away everything because you feel too unworthy to be used by God to be relevant for anything. I sense God saying it's time to fall back. I see God saying, get back, fall back in the line, prepare yourself, stand like men of war, keep your line, hold your line. Hold your line. Where's your sword? Where's your uniform? Lift your hands.
Jesus is working on your wings now. He's restoring the years that you've lost. It's your day to fly.
Oh, yeah.
The cloud of witnesses are cheering up. It go fly.
You will spread those wings
you
and fly
made
again.
To fly. There are no limitations here. Your king expects you now to fly. Stop you now. It's your time to feel.
shall mount up with wings like eagles. Now is your time, eagle fly. Shake off the dust that has gathered on you for so long. Step out of the darkness of shame you have wrapped yourself in. There is hope for a tree that is cut down, cause at the scent of water, it shall spring back to life again. Eagle, you're a soldier in the army of God, and the host awaits your response to declare your call. Can you feel the stirring? The stirring in your belly as your father calls out to you now. Can you feel the burning of the fire long shut up in your bones, Eagle? Can you feel the breaking of the dam within you as the rivers from your belly flow? Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up, spread your wings and soar.
Lost.
Restore. 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 Restore lost fire. Restore. Let the hawk's head float again. Let the hawk's head float again. Restore ministries. Restore marriages. Restore. Restore. Homosexuals, restore lesbians, restore party animals, restore video vixens, different kinds of people, strippers, restore, restore Lord, restore, restore wounded soldiers, restore, restore, restore Lord. Restore, Lord. Restore, Lord. We cry for help. Please restore, Lord. Restore. Restore, Lord. Restore, Lord. Restore to yourself those who have been bleeding. Restore, Lord. Restore, Lord. Those who have been written off, bring them back. Bring them back. Those who are offended, please bring them back. Please bring them back. It doesn't matter the years. It doesn't matter their anger, their pain. Please bring them back. Those who are missing it in their heart and are getting offended in different ministries, please bring them back. Please restore. And give the church the heart to bear this harvest and to receive it and not waste your harvest and not turn them back to the cold. Restore, Lord. Restore. We cry for restoration. We cry. We cry, Lord. We cry, Lord, please. Just do it one more time. Do it one more time, Lord. Let the hairs of Samson grow again. Let it grow again. Let it grow again. Let it grow again. Let it grow again. Restore, Lord. Let there be life where there's been death. Restore, Lord. Restore. Restoration, Lord. Restoration, Lord. Please, Lord. Give us a heart not to feel too holy for what you are doing in this season. Restore, Lord. Restore. Restore, Lord. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Amen. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. Let there be a wave of restoration across where hope has been lost. Please restore. Send help, Lord. Send help. If there's anyone at the sound of my voice that is lost, confused, don't know where to start from, send help. Send help to them. Restore their fire. Restore their everything that they have with you that seemed to be lost. Let them come back by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Bring the church to a state of maturity.
where we will understand what you are doing in this season. Bring the church to a place of maturity, where we will understand what you are doing in this season. Help us, Lord. Help your church. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Have you been blessed tonight?
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.